the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name's Jane, and alongside me are my three very best friends.
Oh. Wow.
Sarah Wells, Christian Warren, and Kevin Tinkin.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys, obviously you can't see Jane when she does that, but she had to like really think, am I going to put Christian on this list? Because like when she looked at me, she's like, all right, Christian Warren
Debatable.
And Kevin.
This is the third take. The first two, she vomited all over the
mic. Yeah.
Sometimes it's Warren and sometimes it's Warren.
I said it wrong.
It's less of a word than is like a...
Speaking of last names, we've been getting our mega fans' last name wrong all this time.
Oh, how do you say it?
Pernesh.
Danny Pernesh.
With an C-H.
I thought you were going to say Roby, and I was like, how did I get Roby wrong?
Vernie.
I guess she doesn't really listen much anymore.
Oh, she hasn't this summer. I don't think she's been working a lot. Sorry, Sarahs.
Hey, we got a really exciting show for you guys today. No, Kevin's not exciting.
Kevin's just kind of been chilling the whole episode.
I've been chilling. My finger surgery is still...
Yeah, tell us what happened, because we all walked in and said, gout? And you're all, nope.
You're idiots. Let me just throw that out there. I've explained what gout is enough. And like, I come in with my finger bandage. You guys,
yeah, but gout...
You haven't explained it.
Right,
you causes bumps.
Okay,
it doesn't cause bumps.
Go ahead. What happened?
You're not idiots. I'm sorry. Let me say that first.
Kevin, you're not my best friend anymore.
What happened to your
finger? I had a bump on it, and they had to remove it, but they couldn't just, like, remove it. They had to, like, that scene from Terminator where he cuts off his hand and he removes it, and, like, he takes off all the skin and
thing.
So they kind of did that on a section of my finger because they had to get all the bump out.
I find it really weird that they put you under to do that surgery.
I do too. I was talking to the anesthesiologist.
Yep.
I was talking to the anesthesiologist the other day, and he says to me, and I says, and he says, no, I said, why out? Why can't I just be kind of in?
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Why like half with, and half.
Why with the out? And no, he said he'll put me into Twilight. And I was like, Team Jacob all the way. And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, he said, I'll put you into Twilight sleep. And I was like, okay.
Just kidding.
Does that mean Twilight doesn't mean you're fully out? Or
yeah.
What?
If Twilight means you're just kind of, he gets you basically drunk. He's like, okay. I'm going to get you real drunk before we work on your finger.
Yeah.
And then the doctor came in, he's like, oh, no, you need to be all the way out.
Oh, wow.
And I like, because they had said all the way out originally, and then every time people came in, oh, your finger, oh, yeah, well, you'll be fine. And then he's like, no, all the way out, like all the way. And I'm just like, all right, what's going
to
happen
when
I'm asleep?
Was it like attached to your bone or something?
He didn't know. It's just because it's my finger, you have to really get in there and you got to dig between the tendons and stuff.
Yeah, grody growed.
Well, it's good to have you back, man. Glad you survived, bro.
Yeah, we
it's
good to be back. You,
did you say anything funny while you were under?
No, but when I woke up, I did say some funny things.
Like what?
I think, like, you guys, I don't know. I am an encourager. I at my core. But I woke up, and the first question was, is it the year 2030? Because they had, like, the clock was in military time, and I just removed some of the way that it was written, and I'm like, is it the year 2030?
How crazy would that be that if you woke up?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Has it been 30 like years frozen like,
yeah,
that
it's,
whole
it's
time?
What's that movie with Luke Wilson?
Oh, Inside Man.
No, Idiocracy.
Idiocracy. That's the plot of that movie.
No, so then I saw the nurse, and there was a nurse behind the counter, and she looked sad. And so I said, she looks sad. Her hair is so beautiful. Like, why are you sad? And I knew that they got new computer systems. And so I'm just like, don't be sad. You need the computers. Are you dealing with the computers? She says, yeah. And I was like, come on. Give me a hug. Come on. Feel better. Feel better.
Whoa. You are Will. And this is your son.
Yeah.
Turned into Flirty McFlirterson.
Why is everybody so sad?
Jenny's not.
Yeah, that's what he would do. Yeah. I totally see him doing that.
I hugged like three nurses.
Wow.
One of them was a male nurse.
All three male nurses?
No, two. One out of the three was male. Yeah. But,
Hey, well, it's really good to have you back. And seriously, you weren't here last week because I think it was the day before your surgery and you were kind of hanging out with your family.
Yes. Yes, yeah. It was.
And then, but this week's episode, we're going to do some sermon discussion. Andrew File is going to come in here and he is going to kind of talk about my sermon from this last week called He is the Lamb. And then we are going to going to an interview with some of Sarah's friends.
Yes.
And Sarah, explain who these friends are to you.
Their names are Nathan and Megan Miller, and they are missionaries in Mexico. And I grew up with Megan, and she listens to the Spoutcast, and they were in town. So thought it'd be fun to have them on.
Yeah. And stay tuned for that. That's going to be fun. And then we're going to close out the show with I have a game idea that I was going to, you know, toss out to you guys. But then also, we have an email, a very special email that we want to read at the end of the show.
What a day.
So it's not to the Spoutcast. It was an email that the three of us got in our work email today and that we need to address here on the air.
Yes, must address.
Now, music this week, Sarah, you're in charge of music.
Yeah.
What are the jams? Is it Michael Jordan this week? I mean, is it Shaq? Which album from Shaq is it this week?
It's definitely Space Kobe? Jam.
Okay, it's a Space Jam
him
album.
High, yeah. Hit him high, hit him high.
Can you hit him low,
hit him low. Hit him
I'm come going straight to the hole.
We're unstoppable. We run the show.
I don't even know what is happening.
The track. Cut the track.
Well, we don't have any of that, but okay. We do have Mikey Dell. He's a guy that I used to work with over at Mount Hermon in Santa Cruz, and I've had his music on before, but he has a new album out and it's really great, so I thought we'd put him on.
I really wish I had headphones that I could just like turn down the monitors. Like it's scary.
Come on. All right. Well, stay tuned for that. We got a cool episode and enjoy some Mike Edel.
You sent me two letters. I did not reply to. They make me remember the way that. Oh, oh, oh.
And after Passover, we have to understand that Jewish family, they would be so excited that this just happened. This worthy lamb approved by the priest just slit the lamb's throat and instantly their sins were forgiven. And this was a celebratory moment for them. They got to go home with this lamb and eat it and celebrate as a family that, man, this worthy lamb died as a sacrifice for me. And this was a huge moment for a family every single year. This started their year off. And this is a picture of lambs. And this has a meaning to a Jewish person. But remember, to us, it doesn't necessarily mean much unless we understand this. So when Jesus comes on the scene thousands of years later, and John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," he's essentially saying, behold, this is the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. All right, we are back and we're in going to do the sermon discussion here. And instead of me chatting about the He is the Lamb sermon, we figured we'd invite our producer, Andrew File, in. Andrew, how's it going?
It's good to be back.
Yeah, I talked a couple weeks ago and we couldn't get you in the studio. You were out on vacation. So it was weird for me to talk about my own sermon. You know, I like to hear what you have to say.
I think you like to talk about yourself.
I love to talk about myself, but I'd rather not this
fine.
Be the forum. I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's more weird for me, you know?
Well, you didn't make it seem weird, so.
Yeah. So, Andrew, take it away, man. Yeah. I may interject here and there, but I'd love to hear your thoughts and then get Kevin and Jane's thoughts. Sarah's out on this segment. She might pop in here in a little bit, but go for it.
Yeah, so theme for the day was He is Lion.
Or Lamb.
Yeah. He is Lamb. There we go. You know, I'm looking forward to this week, guys, so I'm already ahead in my... Okay. Anyways, okay, He is Lamb. Missed that one, but... all right, so we had Christian here at North all day. We had Sam Freshwater over at Fig. He was for both services. Jared at Clovis. And then Jeff Doolittle was rocking Kingsburg. So what'd you guys hear? You guys were assuming North?
I just listened to the North recording.
Okay.
Because Christian, you did midweek, right?
I did midweek, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. And I got to hear, I feel like a terrible friend, and I came to one of three Christians' live messages. Hey, at least I got to one. Mm-hmm. So I was there last night, so I got to hear that. And
but
then
he
I was,
thought my last one was called Lion. So.
Yeah, I was really confused. No, I just really wasn't connected.
Why do you keep talking about a lamb?
And then I was also there at Fig to hear Sam. So I'll kind of interject Sam's thoughts, what he brought. But obviously, theme of lamb and how Christ, throughout the story of the Old Testament, if you weren't there, story of the Old Testament is all these laws, these sacrificial systems, all these things that are really confusing. And there's always this picture of a lamb. Becomes very important, and then especially as you connect it to the gospel, as you connect it to Jesus, as he enters Jerusalem before Passover, a lot of history, a lot of details. What stuck out to you guys?
I mean, it's a mirror of of the Passover, you know, and that's where I would park it if I was driving a car.
Parallel park or like back
I would,
in?
You know,
or...
I'd back in. Okay. You know, I you got to back it up. And, it's interesting. When I first came in here, the first thing I said to you was, so the theme of the story was that the Jewish people are not smart. I may have used more colorful language at that point.
I think you used a little colorful language than that. but
that's it. I mean, it's just like literally the Passover happens, and then not to reiterate the entire sermon, but the Passover happens. They celebrate it all the time. All the time. Every year, it's the exact same thing. And then Jesus shows up exactly the same. Mm-hmm. 5 days, boom, dead. You know, the whole thing. It's just, and nobody, they're just like, it's just really odd. Like, if I was at a Starbucks waiting for a guy with a purple hat, and a guy with a purple hat walked in, and I'm just like, you know, drinking my drink, and be like, not sure if that's the guy. Can I get another Starbucks, please? Like, that's how ridiculous it felt to me.
Yeah.
But it's
the sermon felt ridiculous, or the Jewish people rejecting him.
Yeah. Just the rejection. I don't want this to become like an anti-Semitic podcast or anything, but just like the people in general that saw that and were just like, nope.
Yeah.
That's not it.
We had some good conversation. I was talking with my brother after, and he was going, help me understand, like, because I don't understand how they missed that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what I see in my own life is I want Jesus to be this super, like, powerful, like, crazy intense ruler, and I think the Jewish people wanted that same thing. So although the Old Testament kept saying, he's going to be the lamb, he's going to be the lamb, yeah, he'll be your sacrifice, this is why we have the sacrificial system. We all want like somebody that can come in and rescue, and that is like just gonna beat up on the powers. And I think they wanted that guy, not the guy that's gonna die. It's like, we don't want the guy that's gonna die, you know.
And even taking it to like a different extreme, like how often we miss Jesus in our lives every day, like things that will, like compared to something else, like, wow, that it's really great that I was able to stop my car and not run into the back of that other one or whatever. Like, I mean, in different circumstances, like Jesus shows up every day and we don't always recognize that. One thing that I liked, because I heard Christians at the Seven, which, great job, Christian. You did really well.
Had some mic trouble in the beginning there.
But you pulled it off. Mic trouble was fine. I really liked the idea of the how in Jewish culture you had your lamb selection day, and then you'd go and you'd select your lamb, da da da, and how Jesus showed up on lamb selection day, and just that imagery. Same thing that I had when it was what was the correlation that happened in a sermon a couple weeks before? Just that how. I just get so geeked out by those things of like, oh my gosh, these things are exact parallels of what they do every day. And here's Jesus, the lamb that is his blood shed for us, is there on lamb selection day. And it's just cool.
I was watching this show, Oddities. You guys ever watch that?
No.
Well, the other day I was watching Peach Dragon. You guys ever see that? No, I promise this is relevant. No, I was watching Oddities, and there's a culture in I believe it was Brazil. Don't quote me. The Oddities fanboys are going to get on me for this.
a lot of them listen to this podcast.
I know.
Yeah, you're being recorded. Same crew, so.
But they had to sacrifice to a god in order to have, like, oh, my dad's sick. So they go. Mm-hmm. And they literally, like, there's guys just selling chickens and stuff. And you see the footage of them, like, opening up the throats of these animals and just bleeding everywhere. And they spray it all over this statue and area. And, like, there's a trough for the blood. And it's just very, like, wow. I'm, like, watching this. And they you know, shot it delicately or whatever. But, they interviewed this one particular family where there was this little girl, and she had to be like probably like 7 or 8 years old, and they had a goat, and they're talking to her, and they're like, I understand, you know, because grandpa's sick, like, we got to take care of this and we got to do it, but I really love my goat. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and they're like, made her watch, you know, this whole thing. And I was just like, man, but the whole time I was looking at it, I'm like, this is like, this looks just like Passover, like, because there's literally lines and lines of people walking up to this place with their animals, you know, chickens or goats. And it was a trip. Mm. Like, it was just tripping me out, because we do think of it in a storybook, and you get your, you know, cardboard pop-up book, and it's like, there's a little lamb.
Wouldn't have that one.
Yeah, it's just like, there's that last page where there's blood squirting out of the neck of this lamb. And there's a river of blood. Like, you don't get that. Yeah. But that's like, that's real talk right there. Like, that's real stuff. And
hashtag real talk.
Yeah. Yeah. But this, I said, this little girl, she's like crying about it. And I was just the whole time, I'm like, whoa, that's real.
I wonder if we would take our sin more seriously if we had to do that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I'm not trying to like dumb down the sacrifice of Christ for me at all. But I wonder if I'd think twice before doing whatever, you know, of like, okay, then I'm gonna have to kill a poor little lamb, and that's like what's gonna be my atonement for my sin. I don't know.
I just think about it, like, because when you're talking about how to live with it for 5 days, and I was like thinking, I'm so dark, but I'm just like, I love my cat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I love my cat,
Changes
Mr.
Too,
Hank.
It's okay.
Sarah,
my cat's dead.
Sarah Wells is back.
Oh, yeah, she joined the building.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Sarah.
I snuck in.
So you like Mr. Hank,
your
right?
Your cat's dead?
Yeah, she died a while ago.
Sarah, what service did you hear?
It's all right, Kev. Don't know where you were going with Mr. Hank.
I thought you were done.
Hey, Christian, I'm in control, so sorry. Why don't you just... Oh.
Yeah, no,
I anyways, just, back to the cat.
Yes, you take that your own home animal or whatever, the animal that you love, you got to kill that. Like, that's just, I don't know, just having to live with and develop a relationship and stuff, that had to be hard. They probably distanced themselves and things. But anyway, I'm sorry. I just went on the Mr. Hank rant.
I think you heard Christians, he then connected that powerful image of having that animal live with you, and then you read a commentator's view of Christ's death, and those kind of putting those together. I felt like that was heavy when you were reading that. Like, I felt uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and just the imagery of killing the animal, mm-hmm. killing the goat, and then going, but Christ died the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Did that just, you found that somewhere that connected for you? And it seemed, that was really powerful for me hearing it, you know. I was uncomfortable hearing it too.
It made me pretty emotional.
Yeah.
Mm. I found part of that from a commentator, and this is behind the scenes a little bit. Is this, can I be behind the scenes a little bit?
Unpack
Why
it.
Are you asking me? Yes.
I've used that before, and that was from a commentator that I found a while ago, like when I first got Logos, and I think I found it in
Logos.
It's like a Bible software technology.
Okay. You term for word.
But as I was studying this, sermon, I remember reading that when I first got Logos, I think in like the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and I pulled it out, and then I changed some stuff in it to be a little bit more descriptive and a little bit more like, now he's a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So I did change some of the guy's words, but I clearly did not say it's my words. So
I have a question that this might be a dumb question, but I thought of you and Lacey as you were preaching last night because of you guys are vegetarians, and thinking, like, does this impact Lacey even more because she does fight for animal rights and things? Or is she not so much fight for animal rights? I just assume so.
Is she an activist like me?
What are you trying to...
She said something at a dinner just like, man, that's just so heavy. I can't believe they would have to do that. And kind of the same topic we were having of like, oh, that's like... That's
but
like
that, I mean, isn't that
system.
Why Christ died?
But just from even... I don't know, I thought maybe this would be even more so for someone who, like, like really feels for.
I wonder if animal activism and animal rights would be completely different if Christ didn't die for us and like there was animals that we had to kill all the time. I mean, I think you'd have a different view on animals, and I think animals, I don't think there would be mass production of animals like there is today. And I mean, unless you'd have these mass buildings that produce animals that you eventually just kill, you know what I mean? Like that'd be weird.
That's
but
what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is right now. But I don't think it affects her. I think it's the reality of what scripture is saying. And
I mean, it is heavy enough as it is, but I thought of her when you were talking last night.
Yeah. Did you hear Jared's as well?
No, I just saw Christian's at the Five. Okay.
Yeah, hearing Sam, I think what I appreciated about both yours, Christian and Sam's, is just it was a very clear gospel presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think at the Well, we give those, you know, fairly often, but a really good challenge of like, talk to the person that came with you and just process this. Like, this is the gospel. This is the story. And I think one of the clearest connections that I've heard from the series of going, man, this is the Old Testament story, and we just have a perfect picture of Christ. And I think I think kudos to you, great job. And
I think too, just having attended PM, I think for me in my, I guess I've been here, I can say 2 years. It's a little short of 2 years, but I think that has been the most powerful worship experience that I have experienced at one of our services. Just the way that the worship tied into the message and the message tied into communion and then worship into communion. It was, everything was just so cohesive and working together so perfectly that it allowed me to, I mean, it's not, it's, it allowed me to completely take my mind off everything that happened outside of my focus on Christ and his sacrifice for me. And that being someone who works at the church and you're always like picking apart every little thing, like to actually have that time was really cool. Mm-hmm. And just the way the team worked together to accomplish one common goal was just really cool.
Yeah, I think after Dom heard my message, I could be wrong, but it seemed to me that he may have changed his set to reflect more my message. He may not have, and it may have just been a coincidence, but he did a set with Joey's team in the beginning in the AM services, and they were different songs, but they didn't really connect. Like the Revelation song says, "Worthy is the Lamb," but that's for the book of Revelation, you know what I mean? And
he went
more towards like... the blood song. I'm trying to blank on what's the song he did?
That one song.
That's my favorite. I love it.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead.
Yeah. So that song I felt like connected more than the Revelation song did, even though the Revelation song says "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Yeah. That's more in the context of a Revelation. I agree. It did really fit well.
I've read Isaiah 53. A number of times, but it just occurred to me last night as you're explaining it, like that's the most succinct gospel message I think in the Old Testament, because the gospel is all over the Old Testament, but it's kind of, you have to explain sacrifices and atonement and animals and all this. But Isaiah 53, it was the perfect, just, you know, 11 verses, and that is the gospel explained in the Old Testament. And I never read it like that before, and I thought you did a really great job of explaining all of it. So good job.
Well,
you guys don't need to give me kudos. Well,
no, I think
praise the Lord.
No, and I think we're looking forward to the kind of counterpart of that we're going to hear this week of Lions, of just the fact that Christ loves us and He is our Lamb, but at the same time, He is a Lion, that He is just, and we want a just God. And what does that mean? And what is that other picture that we get of Him?
I'm excited for that. I heard Dave Obwald, because he's preaching on Sunday at Fig. He was talking to somebody. I think he was talking near my cubicle, therefore free game. So I listened. And he was saying, when he just talking about preparing the message, like on our walls and the tagging around the church, you didn't see anyone write, "He is wrath. He is just. He is, angry." But those are all still attributes of the Lord, and they're not talked about because those aren't as fun to talk about. And I don't, that's kind of uncomfortable. And so I'm excited to hear what, how they're going to explain it. And
and Mike's going to be in here next week, and we'll have him stick around for the sermon discussion. Because Mike's doing midweek in Clovis. Yeah.
Slayton?
Slayton.
And isn't he? Is he PM?
No, Scott Carolyn's at PM.
Oh,
so,
that's right.
Yeah.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
I know we're trying to wrap it up.
No, go for it.
I like too the Hebrew imagery sort of a thing of how like we would what.
Thingamajiggy,
how
Bob.
How we'd say like Western culture is like he's good and he is loving and he is like all those like kind of describing like adjective things, but how the Hebrews would PJ had a really good reference of it in the morning services of he is the shade tree in my backyard on a hot day.
Yeah.
Or he is my fortress or things like that where you can like how it's explained in imagery instead of like adjectives or whatever. Yeah. I really liked that. And I'd be curious how many people like went and tagged differently after hearing that.
Let's start talking like that.
Well, I mean, it really does since you go, I mean, you've been to Israel and it really does for me. That's one of the biggest significant things I've taken away from my Israel trip is not necessarily like everybody says your Bible all of a sudden turns to 3D or color. And it's like,
instead of black and white,
it's still my, I got a black and white Bible and it's got a couple red letters here and there, but
you like a 3D Bible.
Yeah. I don't have the 3D Bible yet, but it does change how I view certain words. And if I read a lamb, I think differently or lion, you know what I mean? Like even lions, we go, I mean, yeah, Lion King or whatever, but
Aslan.
Yeah. Oh, Aslan. And it's Aslan. Like, there's much more to each description of a word. Yeah. So yeah.
Cool.
Andrew, thanks for coming in and stepping in. I appreciate it. Sorry if I interrupted you earlier.
I'm bossy now. So
right now, you going to wrap it up, Andrew? Or are you going to let him take over?
Oh, he's already taken over. Uh-huh. He already grabbed those
we'll
reins.
Take it
up
back.
Next,
go.
We're going to... What? Up next, we're going to interview some of Sarah's friends.
Yeah.
They are the Millers in Mexico, but they're not in Mexico. They're here in Fresno.
Currently.
And so we're going to interview them. And stay tuned for that. We are back and we are here with Nate and Megan Miller, who have a website called, what's it called?
Millers in Mexico.
And I like the logo that you guys created. .com?
Now that you've said the name, I should probably write a blog.
Yes, but you do have the website that then takes you to a blog. Uh-huh. So really, if you the website still tells you what you guys do, which we'll get to in a second. But I did like the logo that says M in M. You know, like Millers in Mexico. It's good. It's good.
Clever. Word.
Yeah, it's very clever.
We stole that from my parents, so it's not super original.
You guys
original.
Steal it from the M&M company.
Well, they stole it from M&M, and then we stole it from them. So we could get sued twice, probably.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. So, kind of quick backstory is one of you guys knows Sarah. Okay, you do, Megan. And then what's the connection there? How do you guys know each other?
We grew up together at River Park. Uh-huh. We were best friends, despite a brief respite where I didn't like her.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah.
We were in second grade, and I decided I didn't like her anymore, even though she really liked me. So,
so you just one day woke up and said, I don't like Sarah anymore.
Well, it was meaner than that. I had decided I didn't like her. My family went to Yosemite for the weekend. I came to church with a postcard and showed it to her, and she thought it was for her. And I said, "Yeah, right, Sarah. That's not for you."
Do you remember?
What? Absolutely. And I said, "Megan, what's going on?" Or so she's like, "I don't like you." I said, "Yeah, you do. Come on." She's like, "No, I really don't." It's like, "Well, you're just joking," and I just didn't believe her. But
and it was a good strategy. It worked because I started liking her again really soon.
Did she do something that made you mad at her?
No, I was one of those really annoying, mean little kids. The kind that was really skinny and I like squinted in the sun all the time.
What?
You know the kid that squints. There's
we have a few junior high students that do that in the junior high group. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Me and Megan have many weird stories of things that we would do when we were younger. Mm-hmm. So very.
Were you guys church friends or like friends friends?
Oh, we were friends friends. We met at church, but we were friends friends.
This is when Sarah went to Gettysburg, which I didn't even know existed.
And Rayburn.
Uh-huh. So we were friends as far as school went.
Sorry, schools.
Gettysburg.
What are you doing Gettysburg?
In Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you were there for the big the big
Olympics.
Fight.
The big battle.
The big war. Yeah.
The address.
Gettysburg. So what's...
there for the address,
and then,
obviously.
So you guys have just basically stayed in touch over the years, like, or have you guys had any...
We actually, well...
Fallouts, you know, like you did in second grade?
No, fallouts.
No, nothing like
thank
that.
Goodness.
She went to Bible school after high school, and then we kind of lost contact, I guess. And then we've been emailing, I don't know,
once a year or so. I mean, that counts as keeping in touch.
All right, yeah, totally.
And then, I don't know, we've been emailing more lately, but then they were in town, and then we went to coffee, and anyways, we just have a special bond, I think, so.
Yeah.
You know, when you know someone for so long.
And then at a certain point, Megan, you met Nate, and how'd you guys meet? What's kind of your story, Nate?
Well, I grew up in Mexico. My parents are missionaries down there with New Tribes Mission.
Okay.
And I went to college in Idaho for 2 years and got an associate's degree in nothing. And then, and then I decided I'd rather study the Bible than any of those degrees.
That's a joke that I didn't get, and now I get. So thanks, dude.
Welcome to the show, Christian.
And so I went to Bible school because I thought I'd rather study the Bible than anything else, even though I didn't want to go there because all of my family had gone through there. So that was like the last place I wanted to go. And I went there and I said that I was not going to find a girlfriend. And I was not going to have good roommates because those are my expectations. And we got married before we graduated. And my roommates are still my best friends to this day. So we'll see in a few weeks. So,
do you ever have any like fights with your roommates like Sarah and Megan did? You know?
It was more physical.
Okay.
It was less, you know, I'm not going to be your friend. They're just punching. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that your family, you grew up in Mexico. So they were missionaries in Mexico with New Tribes or they were
on their
own thing?
Yeah, with New Tribes Mission.
Okay. And so then... You guys met at school, but in Mexico, or where's this school?
Oh, the Bible school is one of the Bible schools is in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Okay.
New Tribes Mission has their own training program, basically, if you want to be missionaries with them. The first step would be the 2-year Bible school. One is in Wisconsin, one's in Michigan. We went to the Wisconsin one. And then the next step is 2 years in Missouri, which we haven't done yet. So we just went both to the Bible school for different reasons and met there.
Jared Young, I believe, is in New Tribes Mission as well. Yeah. So,
and they're in Thailand now.
Okay.
Some of our missionaries. And Jeb James.
Yeah,
who
he's
works
been,
with
he
the
did
junior
New
high
Tribes
department.
In Michigan.
I
That's
have
how he met his
friends
Jane.
Who did New Tribes in Papua New Guinea, and they lived in Wisconsin. So I don't know. Maybe they went to your school.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, and then at a certain point, you guys met in school together. Mm-hmm. And then
how did you guys meet? Like in class or?
We were dorm.
Actually in different classes.
Yeah, we were in like a brother-sister dorm situation. And she was the RA of the girls' dorm. And I was in the guys' dorm.
It started with me and his RA were kind of friends. And then he was just someone else. And
other guy.
We ended up sitting next to each other.
I know that feeling.
We went to
She didn't even notice me the first time that we met. She has no memory of it, so.
Well, one time we were talking about first impressions, and I thought mine was pretty hurtful because my first impression of him was, I don't remember. His first impression of me was, I was attention-starved, so. Awesome. But, you know, it was that honesty that the Lord really used to break me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Do you feel like you're still attention-starved?
The Lord's really been working on all that. Right. But anyway, we met... doing dorm events together. We went to the movies. We saw the Gridiron Gang, that football
movie. Heck yeah, dude. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes. And we were sitting next to each other, and
It's a good film.
kept trying to top each other's sarcastic comments and, you know, magic. Oh.
That is magic right there.
Sarcastic.
You guys feel like sarcasm is that's something you guys, that's your thing?
It was like the glue at the beginning.
It might have been, but it's gotten me a lot of trouble since then.
And oh, okay. Yeah,
I've been trying to kick the habit, especially as a teacher.
Do you remember the show Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That was me and Megan's jam when we were little, so that's all sarcasm.
They play Mystery Science Theater, like, kind of died, and now it's called, like, Riff Racks, and they play it all the time at our Edwards Theater here in Fresno.
They do?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Same guy, same whole thing. And it's like people go all the time. Like, that was a big thing for me post high school, like Mystery Science Theater reruns. So
great.
And then when did this whole you guys now going to Mexico and you guys are doing mission work in Mexico, and maybe explain how did you guys get to Mexico from Wisconsin, right? And then kind of what is your guys' story in Mexico and what are you guys doing out there?
Well, we got married in Wisconsin, and we finished up our last semester, and we knew that we wanted to go on with missions. We just thought that's where God was leading us, and I had grown up in this mission school, so I thought that was a possibility that we'd go back because of what I learned in Bible school about just like the overall purpose of God and my identity in Christ. I wanted to like share that with people.
Okay.
And so, so then we thought we could teach. We could go down as teachers, because teachers are something that's needed all over every mission field I've ever heard of. They need teachers constantly. And one of the main reasons that missionaries leave is their kids, for their kids' education and stuff like that. So we thought we would do that. But I always hated teaching. It was like the last thing that I ever wanted to do. I made fun of my roommates who went into teaching. So I kind of had in the back of my mind, well, teaching, getting a degree in teaching would be good no matter what I did as far as ministry. So we went back to Idaho, where I had my residency, and I went to school to get a teaching degree. And while we were doing that, the principal from the school in Mexico that I grew up in called us up and said he was leaving for a year and he needed a replacement. And
oh, wow.
Not as principal.
No, no. The teachers took over. Yeah, lots of responsibilities. So,
okay.
Yeah, I got a degree. I majored in English and history education. And so he called us up and asked if we would do that. And going back to Mexico wasn't originally the plan, but we prayed about it and decided that's where God wanted us to go. So we did it, and we signed up as associates, and I had no experience, but you're supposed to have experience, and so...
How long ago was this?
This was 1 year, well, I guess 2 years ago now that we got asked.
Okay.
Last year of school, I had my internship teacher like be my professional reference and all that, so then we got accepted into New Tribes Mission in the spring, and we left in the summer, and that's how we did it. And
we had always planned to go on with New Tribes and do the second phase of training, but we really felt like the Lord was leading us to have him get his degree in teaching first. And right at the end of his degree, he was really having a hard time because, like he said, it's not ever something he imagined he would do. It was not a dream of his.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a difficult time in school. So that night we prayed together about, God, is this like an old plan of yours that we're still going off of, or is this still really what you want? And then that guy called the next day.
Oh, wow.
Well, the only, you know, thing about that whole plan was that since we went down without going to the second phase of training yet, we're only temporary. We can't be there for more than 4 years. Mm. So
we committed to two, and we can't do more than four.
So that's the...
And so kind of in an everyday kind of life down there, what do you guys do? What's kind of a normal day for you guys look like in Mexico?
We live in Chihuahua, which is the city of Chihuahua and the state of Chihuahua.
So I hear you have some good stories about some Chihuahuas. Maybe we'll get to those in a bit, huh?
Yeah. And she has good stories about having a baby in Mexico in the hospitals there. So
I did. Chihuahua. Yeah. And
so we live in the city, and we live near the outskirts of the city. We have a little house on a dirt road, where the window panes don't actually fit with, you know, the glass, so lots of dust comes blowing in. And that's how our day starts.
With dirt. Yeah. And then, you know, we got school from 8 to 3 just like anywhere else. And because it's the first year and I have basically no time and we don't do any repeated classes, I teach all new, you know, every hour is new. It's not no repetition because the school is so small.
They combine grades, so 7th and 8th, they're together, 9th and 10th.
6 preps last semester, or last year, and this year I'll do 7. And I do that, and then, you know, on
Tuesdays, we had a journalism club. On Wednesdays, we had teachers' meetings. And
Saturday mornings, he'd do a Bible study with the high school guys at our house. And then
cool.
I'm the school librarian.
Wow.
Nice.
What that means is, like, kids check out books, and then they put them in a big box by the door, and I put them away at the end of the week.
So do you, this might be a silly question, but are you teaching American kids?
It's mostly American kids.
Okay.
Or I guess it's the majority of them are American kids. There are some Mexican kids, and there are actually a lot more than they used to be percentage-wise now, because the field has shrunk a lot since mm-hmm. the violence in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So there are, but they have to be, like, their parents are in full-time ministry, and they yeah. have to start them, like, really young, so they learn English. So it's all in English, pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, it is
New
it
Tribe's
is in English.
MO is kind of, as you know, like, they send people out into a tribe to translate the Bible into a tribal language. Well, their system would be, they have a home base kind of in a city, like right. we're in Chihuahua, where they have a school for the kids to attend to, and they have
the kids of the missionaries.
The kids right. of the yeah. missionaries in English and everything. Because it would basically, in this field specifically, but in a lot of the fields, it'd be impossible for them to be, like, in a public school system.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you have to, like, in a tribe somewhere.
Or
like
in a tribe, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's how it works. And they used to have a dorm system where the kids would come live in the dorm and go to the school, but that's kind of phasing out.
So do you get to bring your baby to work mm-hmm. at the library?
Yes, they let me.
And what's your baby's name?
Her name's Penelope. We call her Pen, Penners, Penry, Penry.
What about Penny?
Benjamin,
Penny,
did you
sometimes.
Just say?
Henry. Yeah.
And how old is she?
She's 10 months old.
Okay.
She's the cutest baby.
Where is
She's
she?
She's so cute.
She's not
She's
here.
With my mom right now.
Okay. And now yeah. you had her in a hospital in Mexico, I'm assuming. How'd mm-hmm. that go? There's a story behind it, or?
It actually went really well. I was telling Sarah about it the other day. We were scared out of our minds to do it because you can imagine having a baby in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it was the kind of thing where we went down there and all the other missionary ladies, I'd ask them advice and they'd say, well, it's going to be a really good opportunity for the Lord to teach you that he's in control.
Oh, gosh.
What? I was so terrified. And it ended up being really good. They did everything that we asked them to do. They have interesting ideas down there as far as medicine go. Like, they think when the baby is first born, you should give it chamomile tea and corn syrup.
Oh.
Because so, that makes them go poo the first time.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, and we just thought.
And they take them for hours.
Yeah, they also, their mentality is, you've just gone through a traumatic experience. You're the last person on earth who's fit to take care of your baby. Huh. So we'll keep them for up, you know, 8 to 12 hours was usually all the other missionary women's thing.
Wow.
Where they hadn't seen their baby for that long.
And they would shave the baby's heads?
They shave their heads because they think that makes the hair grow back thicker. They also pierce ears in the hospital. They just do all that kind of stuff that we just weren't that into. And so...
They should
so
have.
Penelope's head was not shaved.
No, they didn't do any of that.
Good. This is great. Like, did you guys ever see that movie Babies? It's like a documentary about four babies born. I mean, that would have made for a great story
Netflix, Sarah,
because they show birth in different countries and what mm-hmm. it's like in different countries. And it's like, mm-hmm. dude, that would have been crazy to see that.
The mentality in Mexico, if you have your baby in a hospital, that's like what the really rich do. You know, only the people who can afford it have a baby in a hospital. Poor Indian women are the ones that actually have their babies the natural way. Huh. Rich women, they want to have a scheduled C-section. So this hospital was 98% C-section rate.
Really?
So we had
the
labor
ward. You were a natural
birth
or you were a C-section?
It actually ended up being a C-section, but we labored naturally for 36 hours until it was no way we'd do it. But it was actually really good. We were the only ones in the labor ward because obviously everyone else was having a C-section. And the two nurses we had all to ourselves, they were like giving me back rubs. Patting my knees.
Patting my knees.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Really good. Mm-hmm. Well, not to say a complete U-turn, but I just, when you said missionaries in Mexico, the first thing that I thought is Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And which, right? Is everybody in Mexico Catholic for the most part?
That's a big, yeah.
So, how do you address that? Like, how do you go? Because New Tribes is what, non-denominational? Or
right.
They, okay. So, like, what does that look like?
Well, out in the tribal locations where they're trying to establish churches, Catholicism is like synchronized with the old tribal
animistic
practices, animism and everything. And so it's just like added on as another way to get what you want. Mm. You know, so yeah, you pray to the saint and hopefully he'll get you what you want, which is like crops and a nice truck and not to be killed by the drug lords. And so
yeah,
one of the problems that they faced bringing Christianity and they were bringing like the truth to them is that they think, well, this missionary is coming in here with a nice truck, so I'll listen to him because maybe he's got what I need, right? So they want to just kind of add it into their system of beliefs. And so it's kind of, that's one thing that's really difficult for them. And establishing churches there has been really slow and hard going because they just don't separate. They can't get out of their mind the religion that they've already got, because the Catholics were there a long time before we got there.
Well, it's so ingrained in their minds probably for their whole life. It's just hard to switch. You know, I went to a Catholic high school, and it's like, I would explain to them what I believed in different things, and they'd be like, "You're crazy, dude." You know, like, and they're normal high school kids, so.
Yeah, and
New Tribes has a lot of promotional videos, and it always shows like the tribe in Papua New Guinea where it's like, you know, black people with a big ring in their nose and they're shamans, and then they all, like, the entire tribe accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord the same day, and they're jumping up and down and screaming.
Right, they
never do the promotional videos from Mexico because of this. They, you know, Jesus, that's an old word. They already know it. Right. It's not a new concept that they're introduced to. As far
and
as we're...
the tribal people are really anti-white people as well, because of the whole history of Spanish conquerors and everything. It's pretty ugly.
But as far as we're concerned, we don't actually come into contact that much with Mexican nationals besides the ones that speak English in the school. We're kind of part of this weird third culture where it's American kids surrounded by American people, and it's kind of more a discipleship thing. It's almost like a really small youth group there.
You had mentioned it earlier, and I missed it at first, but then I thought about what you said, and it's like you said that most missionaries leave because their kids – they want a good education for their kids, so they'll leave the country. And so you guys are essentially providing a service for these families who have kids who then can go out into the field and be missionaries, which is ultimately like you're a missionary of a missionary, right? Is that sort of...
Right, yeah, just a part of the support system for the missionaries
which
who are working out
most
there.
People think, well, a missionary, they're on the field, they're, you know, building homes or they're whatever, but it's like you guys are a, kind of almost a subsection of missionary work, but it's like just as important because people won't stay if it's not there, right?
Right. Yeah, that's the gist of it, to get people out, because it takes a lot of support and a lot of work from the entire body to get people out into these tribes to establish the churches out there.
And on your guys' website, like, I did not gather this from your website.
Okay,
so.
Maybe we need to rewrite the homepage.
But it now makes a lot more sense and kind of what you... Because you guys came in here and I was like, okay, well, here's, I mean, how I understood it was you guys are helping with the youth in, you know, in Mexico. And that's kind of what I got from it. And I was going to ask you questions, but as you kept talking, I was like, oh, you guys are, it's kind of a different form of missionary work. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you go to their website, like now you kind of know better what you guys do from listening to the Spoutcast. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We provide a service for people to understand things better.
We are also doing missionary work.
That's right.
At the Spoutcast.
Now, this is super random, but you guys have listened to the Spoutcast before, right?
Indeed.
Megan. In Mexico or?
Yeah, the interesting thing about living down there is that unlike other fields with New Tribes where the Americans are really close together, they have their own little base, we're kind of dispersed throughout the city. When we go to a church where they all speak Spanish, it's Spanish all the time. So you don't get a lot of things in your own heart language, which is kind of hilarious because our whole purpose in being with New Tribes Mission is because we think people need the gospel in their heart language. Mm-hmm. So we listen to sermons online a lot. Because
the well
really
sermons good. Or?
Uh-huh. Specifically, I do during the week when he's at school. But then on the weekends, we vary what we listen to. Sometimes the well, sometimes other stuff.
So does that mean the Spoutcast is international? Or like?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Oh, we just went international.
I bet it's Thailand too, right?
Oh,
I
mean, probably Thailand too.
Jared.
I think Jared might listen. Yeah.
Well, the reason why Megan started listening to Spoutcast was because Joey Parker was on, and we both grew up with Joey.
I really had to hear what he had to say on the Spoutcast, and so that was the first time I listened.
You guys were homeschooled together at the early. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. We need to get Joey back on the show because I find Joey to be one of the most intriguing people I know in my life. And I say
without
that
without fail, when he leads worship on a Sunday, he either needs a toothbrush or deodorant.
Yes.
Hey, Jane, do we have any deodorant here? No,
well,
Joey.
He wakes up late. He wakes up late almost every single Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So you should visit Joey at the AT&T store right around the corner.
He works at
yes.
AT&T.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right.
Have you ever met Joey?
No, I haven't.
Joey is one of our worship leaders here, and I'm sure she's told you about this guy, but he is a he's a guy. He's a character. And,
he's a guy.
He's a guy. Yeah.
And awesome. Did he have to say anything interesting on that episode, or no, not really?
Well, that if you guys remember specifically, you asked him why he started coming to the well instead of River Park, and he said it was about a girl. And then
you said who?
It was Sarah.
It was really yeah. awkward.
And so then Sarah said it was her. And I found that to be pretty hilarious.
And then there was something about okay, him hitting a car in that yes. episode.
No, wait a second, though.
Hit
yeah,
your car.
Yeah, he didn't. He was making a joke there. He didn't come to the well because he likes you, Sarah, but because you invited him.
Right. No, because no. He left River Park because of a girl there.
Because of a girl at River Park.
Yes, right. That broke his heart. And, well,
and you said,
sorry.
Who? Yeah. Well, and he didn't want to say, so yeah. Sarah said, it well, was me.
Yeah.
So you broke Joey's heart?
No.
It was a, oh, it was my a gosh. Different girl. And I don't know if she broke his heart. They broke up, and so it was easier for a change to happen. So he
was
came
Joey in that
well.
Second grade class?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was in our class.
Yeah, he was in our class up until, even though he was a grade younger than us
He
in
was
school.
Homeschooled. So it kind of changed with the time. You know homeschoolers.
Oh, totally. Now, before we close, you mentioned chihuahuas. I find this funny that you mentioned it as we were off air, but mm-hmm. your grandma has a chihuahua? Or?
We were just visiting three. My grandma before we came here. She has three chihuahuas. And
and one of them eats something special.
Yeah, his name is Peppy.
And Peppy.
He eats Lucky Charms with milk. Out of bulk. And this, as you can imagine.
And how healthy is this dog?
Yeah, his shape is quite interesting.
I've never seen a dog that looks like that before.
He's shaped like a cloud with a rainbow coming out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's
cool.
Pretty good.
I love me some Lucky Charms.
And it's not doing well, huh?
No, congestive heart failure on medication.
What about other dogs? Do they eat weird things too?
Well, it's like the two extremes of Chihuahuas. One is Peppy's the really needy one that loves her and eats Lucky Charms, and then there's Sassy who like shakes a lot and eats socks.
Socks.
What? Oh, well, hey, I really appreciate you guys coming and taking some time away from your schedule of just even being in California and coming here on the Spoutcast. And we hope that you would continue to bring it internationally. We need as many people as possible to listen. All right. If you want to check out their website, it's millersinmexico.com.
And we'll update it so it'll be more clear. About
what we're doing. Millers, the letter in or IN Mexico?
IN.
Okay.
Yeah.
Millers in Mexico.
Yeah. So thanks again for being here. Yeah, up next, thanks. We are going to do some closing out of the show. We'll give some spout outs, and I thought of a funny game that would be cool. So,
yeah. Oh wait, we're bringing games back into the show.
Wow! All right, Well, that will be up next. Okay. Stay tuned.
Put my hand inside your hands. Lay down beside me and dream big dreams. Dream them next to me. And the two of us will be calm just enough. The two of us will be calm just enough. I won't worry about giving up anything that will separate me from your love. Well, yeah, we're all a little crazy, but that's okay, 'cause that makes two of us.
All right, we are back, and we're about to close out the show, but a couple quick things to address. First things first is I had a game idea and Jane didn't seem that into it, but
that is not true.
I was looking up athletes of the 2012 Olympics.
Why do you always think that I don't like anything you do?
Well, I'll get a judgment from everybody.
I love the Olympics.
Yeah. So I was looking up Olympic names of athletes in the 2012 Olympics, and it's entering into Olympic season next week.
This Friday night.
I thought it would be fun to play a game that has to sort of do with the Olympics. And as I was looking through some of these Olympic people's names, not just American names, like other countries, like some of their names sound like they're a James Bond villain or like a villain in another movie, like, you know, people from other countries and whatnot. And so I want to play a game. I think it would be fun to name like a list. And you guys have to guess, are they an Olympic athlete or are they a villain in a movie?
I'd do it if would just get into it.
Well, actually, but before you get into the game, I need to validate myself.
Oh, yeah, you do need to say something.
Because last week on The Spout, we had a one and wife from Danny Pernesh, and it was, what is your favorite Summer Olympic event and why? Well, I'm not too into the Summer Olympics or Olympics in general, so I thought of baseball because I'd heard of a guy who played on the Olympic team. You guys all shot me down, made me look like an idiot because you say there's no baseball in Summer Olympics. Don't worry, Wikipedia. Yeah, you're the truth all the time. Baseball is part of the Summer Olympics. Not currently this year, but it was.
It was one year.
It was in 1912, 36, 52, 56, 64, 84, 88, 92, 96, 2000, 2004, 2008, and it will be back in the 2020 Olympics.
So who's the idiot now?
Yeah.
Still Jane.
Not me.
So if you guys, we can try that.
Boom.
We can try that game next week, and if you guys hate it, you hate it, okay?
Oh, we're not doing it this week?
Not this week.
We got too much to cover.
I want to address a spout out that we need to get to.
Oh, do it.
We got an email today.
It's an anonymous spout out, correct?
Yeah, it's an anonymous spout out. And we have we got an email in the office today amongst the staff. And this is what the email says. It's titled Lost and Found. So, Kevin, pipe up if you know who lost this because we found it, okay?
Get my pipes ready.
This spout out is to whoever lost this item. And this was the email. And this is from... This is from Stacey King, who is our HR
director.
And like, I mean, this at first glance looked like a very serious email. So this is what the email said. Really can't believe I have to send this email. Lost, : one pile of dog poo found in the cave. And the cave is a place in our office, where our creative cave, where our creative team lives. And she wrote, if you lost this item, please claim. All joking aside, please refrain from bringing animals into the office. Some people are highly allergic. And then at the very end of the email, she said, in addition, really? Dog poo in the office. And the best part of this email is that all of her emails, because she's the HR person, the end of the email says, confidentiality statement. This message, together with any other attachment, is intended only for the use of the individual or entity to which it is addressed. It may contain information that is confidential and prohibited for disclosure. And so our spout out goes to you, mister, who lost your poo in the creative.
or miss.
Is it a bag of dog poo?
I feel like I relate a lot of things to Old Spice commercials, and it needs to be the... Oh, no, not the Old Spice commercial. Some commercial words. Here's to you, Mr. Hot Dog.
Budweiser.
Lover.
That's a Budweiser. Kevin, to answer your question.
Did you say Mr. Hot Dog?
No, it's not a bag. It's just one pile of dog.
Yeah, the dog was in the office and it pooed. Yeah.
So somebody's dog went in the office and took a deuce and then cleaned it up.
Nobody cleaned it up.
And it was right next to Casey Jackson. Desk apparently,
and it was on fire when they walked in.
Yeah, right. No, and immediately when
don't put it out with your boots, Ted.
When they said that, immediately I thought, oh boy, everybody's gonna think it's me because I've brought my dogs to the office. Oh. So I then immediately made my ploy walking around the office. It was not me. All right, guys, like it was not me.
But sure. He also wanted to know very adamantly who it was.
Yes. And well, to whoever it was, we spout out to you, kind sir or miss. And you guys, great episode. Thanks for listening. Maybe next week, Kevin will leave his dog's poo right here in the...
Or Mr. Hank's poo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is The Spout.
And we're out.
Hey, we'll see you next week, Dave Sather.
So beat in my chest up the sweet fear in nervous. And what I was thinking of it can't wait because
I've left my heart a mess, and I cannot forget. And with the way you take your steps in your heart, happiness, if I